Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the teaching ministry of Bible teacher and translator Dr. Paul Esposito and Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. Dr. Esposito is the translator of the English Majority Text, New Testament, as well as the Apostles' Bible, a modern English translation of the Greek Septuagint, Old Testament, both available through Amazon Publishing. And now here with today's broadcast is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solana. We greet you here today. Happy Wednesday to all of you. It's hump day already. Thanks for joining us here today on this Wednesday. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of it here with us. This is WGOD. God is always broadcasting. He always has a word for you. Let's tune into his frequency. Funny, with an intro like that, this is a good segue to the title of this sermon, which is, Thus Says the Lord. That saying, I looked it up one day, just the other day, right before this sermon. That saying is in the Old Testament 417 times and 0 times in the New Testament. Why? What's changed? That we're answering that question here in this sermon. This is part two. Part one aired yesterday. You can view the sermon on YouTube by going to the Island Community Church YouTube. You can listen to the audio by subscribing to our podcast. You can either do that through Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can subscribe to the On Demand here at the radio station, WMIEFM.com. Click on On Demand. Click on WGOD Radio. You can subscribe to that. You'll get them every day. Or you can hear a past broadcast from there as well. So, okay, it's Wednesday. I invite you to church tonight. Brand new study tonight. If you're tuning in at 5:30, you've got 28 minutes to make it to church. We're in the book of Daniel. We're starting that study at 6 o'clock tonight. It's the companion book to the book of Revelation. You are invited. We would love to see you. Now, let's get into this message now. This is part two of this message, Thus Says the Lord.
The Word of God says the wages of sin is death. You don't need a prophet to tell you that. Open up your Bible and you'll read it for yourself. That's why there was prophets in the New Testament. Because this book wasn't written down yet. This book wasn't written down yet. The Word of God trumps everything and everyone. Now, perhaps the greatest witness of all time, the Apostle Peter, put it this way. He says, we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory. He says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Then Peter says this, so we have the prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to pay attention to as a light that's shining in a dark place. Peter is saying here that even though he was an eyewitness and he saw Jesus and heard the voice of God, he's saying the word of God trumps everything. It's better than an eyewitness. He's heard the voice of God. And he says, your Bible is better. There's no need for a prophet anymore. This is why you don't see one anymore. Look, a prophet is not someone who told you where your Aunt Josephine hid her will, or where Uncle Seymour stashed all of his gold and silver. That's not what a prophet does. Look, you've got, I counted, matter of fact, I've got a Bible kicking around somewhere. I might have given out. It's called the Promise Bible. It's a list of every promise given in the Bible. And there's like 4,430 promises in the Bible. If you want a promise from God, here's a novel thought. Open up the Word of God, right? Don't listen to anyone. No matter who you are, I'm not going to call you a charlatan. Normally, I would have done that. Read your Bible if you want a word. I've seen that one, that cartoon on Facebook. When someone says, God, why won't you speak to me, right? So you see this cloud, and you see this arm come out of the cloud going, yank. Open up your, here it is right here. He's handing you a word of God. That's why I've named my program WGOD Radio. Because God is always broadcasting. He's always speaking. He always has a word for you. A real prophet does not need your money. A real prophet would say to you, like Peter did, your money perish with you. We don't need your money. John Hagee used to say that if a real prophet ever showed up at his church, he would clear the place out in 5 minutes flat. I mean, can you imagine your sins up here on the screen today? How fast could we empty the church? So instead of needing a man traveling around the countryside to tell you you're a sinner, you have the completed word of God not only to tell you you're a sinner, but also to throw you a life preserver and to tell you what to do about it. Because it doesn't end there. Just him telling you you're a sinner just convicts you of sin. But that's not the end of it, right? The wages of sin is death, but there's a but right there after that. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Now, today, there's not going to be a prophet in the back of the church that's going to get up and tell you that. You've got the Word of God right here to tell you that. And I encourage you to stay out of churches that have thus says the Lord, and they're going to tell you what God says, because I don't need your help to tell me what God says. I've got it right here. Right? You guys don't need my help. Maybe I help maybe explain a little bit. I hope you guys get some good out of me preaching. Something, I hope, right? And it's all written down now. That's the reason why there is no legitimate prophet in the world anymore. And this is the reason why there's no need for a prophet anymore. Again, just remember Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Write it down. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Quote it often because it's the greatest showstopper there is. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he's appointed heir of all things. Look, there is no new revelation. I've heard this saying once and I love it. It says, if it's new, then it's not true. And if it's true, then it's not new. Now let's spend the rest of our Sunday together here with the apostle. Let's see what happens next. Let's pick it up here in verse 11. Back to this prophet, Agabus, is where we left off. I guess just in my Christian life, I get around a lot and have before I was a pastor. And being a radio station manager for 20 some odd years, I hear this kind of stuff all the time. Of people get up and say, thus says the Lord. And don't believe them and don't follow them, even if what they tell you is true. Remember that googly-eyed fruitcake we ran into in chapter 16? Who said, follow the Apostle Paul wherever he goes and listen to everything. She had one eye going that way, one eye. She was like Marty Feldman. And Paul was greatly annoyed. The woman was telling people about Jesus. Just because they tell you the truth, it doesn't mean you need to listen to them. In that case, at least, she said, Paul's telling you how to be saved. And he was greatly annoyed and cast a demon out of someone. Better be careful who you're listening to. Okay, verse 11. Now, when he had come to us, that's Agabus, his prophet, he took Paul's belt, he bound his own hands and feet and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. You see, you too have the Holy Spirit speaking to you. You see, now you have got what these guys didn't have. You've got John 16:33, where Jesus said, in this world you will have what? But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. They had prophets that get up and told you that. You, all you got to do is crack open the book of John in your Bible, and you'll find it right there. Read some of these devotionals every day. Saturate, be in the Word of God. You'll hear God speak to you. As much time as you want to give Him is as much time as you'll hear a word from God. That's up to you. That's up to you. These guys didn't have the encouragement that you have. Verse 12. Now, when we heard these things, both we and those from that place, we pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, he says, why are you weeping and breaking my heart? What an emotional scene this must have been. Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, well, the will of the Lord be done. What a funny statement. The will of the Lord's going to be done anyway, right? On earth as it is in heaven. And just because he doesn't do what you say doesn't mean, well, you know, will of the Lord's not going to be done. The will of the Lord's always done, by hook or by crook. He just invites us to take part of it, right? If you say no, then he'll just go over here and ask someone else. If you say no, he'll just... But there's no thwarting or stopping the will of God from being fulfilled. So yes, the will of the Lord be done. Verse 15, now after those days, we packed and went up to Jerusalem. I heard there was a three men in a truck out there. Now some of the disciples from Caesarea, they went with us and brought with them a certain Mnason of Cyprus, an early disciple with whom we were to lodge. And when we had come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. On the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all of the elders were present. Now, James is the author of the book of James. It probably was Mary's, oh, definitely was Mary's second son, Jesus' brother, half-brother. He was the head of the church here in Jerusalem. Verse 19, now when he had greeted them, he told in detail those things which God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. All right, speaking of Paul. Now when they heard it, they glorified the Lord. And they said to him, you see, brother, how many myriads of Jews there are who have believed. Let me read that again. You see, brother, how many myriads of Jews there are who have believed. And they are all zealous for the law. Well, if you're a believer, then you're zealous for the wrong thing, let me say. Because my Bible says Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes, Romans 10:4. Now, Jesus, if you want to find something to be zealous for, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. You want to be zealous for something? Let's start there. There's a good thing to be zealous for. It was just a matter of time before trouble was going to break out here. I mean, these Jews who were just told that all foods were clean. See, this is the rub here. I mean, these guys have followed the law their whole life. And then all of a sudden, wham, on some Wednesday, all of a sudden now, all foods are okay to eat. Hold on a minute there, Baba Louie. I'm not in so much of a hurry to do that. So there's the problem. It's with Jews and those we're going to see who's heard him preach everywhere where he used to be. We're going to find out there's a problem there too. I'm sure these guys heard what Paul told the Galatians just a few years back. He said, indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ is no good. He'll profit you nothing. You're wasting your time believing in the Lord Jesus if you're going to try to keep a rule in order to be right with God. Now, that didn't sit too well with these guys. Paul said, I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is now obligated to keep the entire law. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly await for the hope of righteousness by faith. Verse 6, I'm reading Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. So that's why they hated this guy so much. Okay, so they've confronted Paul once he arrived. That is, the apostles have confronted him. And they're trying to figure out what to do next from this angry mob that's been following him around everywhere that he's going, but telling people that they don't have to keep the law in order to be right with God. They just have to receive and believe Jesus Christ in order to be right with God. Okay, let's move on here. We're just about done. Verse 21, Acts 21:21. But they have been informed about you, that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, nor to walk according to the customs. So what then? The assembly must certainly meet, for they will hear that you've come. Therefore, do what we tell you. We've got four men who have taken a vow. Take them and be purified with them. Pay their expenses so that they may shave their heads and that all may know that those things of which they were informed concerning you are nothing, but that you yourself also walk orderly and keep the law. All right, now check out verse 25. But concerning the Gentiles who believe, we have written and have decided that they should observe no such thing, except that they should keep themselves from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. See, it was never the Gentiles' law, ever. Look at what he just said here in verse 25. Concerning the Gentiles who believe, we have written and decided that they should observe no such thing. Look, there is no old covenant for you Gentiles. Only new. Your only covenant is the covenant of the gospel of the grace of God. That's the only thing that concerns you, the gospel of the grace of God. Verse 26, then Paul took the men. Now, people have argued over this as well. Why did he do this? I mean, he got into a big argument with Peter over attempting to keep the law. Remember, he was eating a pulled pork platter and he was eating brisket over here with these Gentiles. But then when the Jews came, he went and started eating matzo balls. So they said, you're a hypocrite. You shouldn't do that. But now they're telling him he needs to go shave off all of his head and keep the law so as you don't offend everyone. And he does it. That's a point of contention. Maybe we'll look at that next week. Except as Paul said, I think it's 1 Corinthians 9:22. He said, I have become all things to all men that I might by all possible means save some. It was more important to him to save some people than to worry about offending them right from the get-go so that they wouldn't even pay attention to him. That's why he had Timothy circumcised, so they wouldn't lose all the Jews that were there because his mother was Jewish. All right, verse 26. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, having been purified with them, he entered the temple to announce the expiration of the days of purification, at which time an offering should be made for each one of them. Now when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd, laid hands on him, and cried out, Men of Israel, help! This is the man who teaches all men everywhere against the people and against the law and this place. And furthermore, he's brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place. So remember the truth and how to deal with your enemies, right? Lie. That was a lie. Just like politicians, right? Show me a politician that doesn't lie, and I'll buy your lunch today. Wow, that's funny. All I hear is crickets. Verse 30, so all the city was disturbed. The people ran together. They seized Paul. They dragged him out of the temple and immediately the doors were shut. Now, as they were seeking to kill him, news came to the commander of the garrison that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. He immediately took soldiers and centurions, and he ran down to them. And when they saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Then the commander came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains, and he asked who he was and what he had done. And some among the multitude cried one thing and some another. So when he could not ascertain the truth because of the tumult, he commanded him to be taken into the barracks. Now when he reached the stairs, he had to be carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the mob. Wow, this is the worst riot yet, I think, we've seen. I mean, these guys are just this close to just ripping him to shreds. Verse 36, for the multitude of the people followed after, crying out, away with him. You know, that's funny. That's exactly the same thing they said about Jesus, wasn't it? Away with him. That was when Pontius Pilate wanted to set him free, remember? Verse 37. Then, as Paul was about to be led into the barracks, he said to the commander, he said, may I speak to you? So he replied, well, do you know Greek? Then the commander says to him, aren't you that Egyptian guy who some time ago stirred up a rebellion and led 4,000 assassins? Boy, I think he's got the wrong guy there, huh? Aren't you that Egyptian dude with all the assassins? Must have been Ali Baba he was talking about there. I think he's got the wrong guy. Paul says, no, verse 39, I'm a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia. I'm a citizen of no mean or no small city, and I implore you, permit me to speak to the people. So when he had given him permission, Paul stood on the stairs, he motioned with his hands to the people, and there was a great silence. And he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, saying, come back next week, Island Community Church, and we'll tell you exactly what he said. Let's pray. Lord, I love cliffhangers. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that's drawn us all here into your house today. They don't come to hear me or anyone else. People come here because they come here to hear you. Your word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. We're here to hear you. We're here to worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are El Shaddai, the Almighty God, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. We praise your holy name here in this house. Lord, thank you for this moving that you're doing in here. We thank you. We're hungry for you. We're hungry for your word. Be with us this week as we sit down, read, and study some more. Speak to us where we know that you speak through your word. Bring us back again into your house again next week. And we praise you now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now to sum up here before we go, four things. Number one, there are no thus says the Lord's in the New Testament because God in these last days has spoken to us by his Son. Number two, if it's true, then it's not new. Number three, pay no attention to the man or woman who says, thus says the Lord to you, and offers you new revelation. Point number four, if it's new, then it's not true. Let me give you three examples of new revelation, okay? Number one, you know, someone's going to get up here and say, you know what? I've got a new revelation from God. You see, I've received this directly from God. He says, I have heard now, because God told me, that Jesus is not returning in the clouds, but he's going to sit in the temple. And he's going to sit as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And to prove that, watch this here. And then he's going to do what hasn't been done since Elijah did it nigh on 3,000 years ago. He's going to call fire down out of heaven. Revelation chapter 13, he deceives those that dwell on the earth by the signs which were granted to him to do. He's going to call fire down out of heaven to prove who he is and what he's just said. He's going to deceive millions because people don't believe and hold to the word of God as absolute truth. You know how Jesus is coming back, people. He's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. Then he says, even so, amen. Meaning it is what it is. He's coming back with the clouds. Even so, amen, amen. I don't care what you say. I know how my Jesus is coming back. He's coming with the clouds. Most people, the Bible says, are going to wail when he comes back. That could be a new revelation. When Jesus comes back, no one's going to wail. Everyone's going to rejoice. That's a new revelation, right? It's not true. It's really dangerous if you trust me and I tell you something like that, because we've established trust. Number two, second new revelation. Well, homosexuality is completely fine today. You know, God adjusts to the time that we live in. And that really, that was just, there's nothing wrong with a homosexual loving relationship. Now, there's some new revelation from God. You have to decide whether or not that's a lie. It all depends on where your source of truth is. That's the question you've got to answer yourself. I share the truth here with you so that you know it. We've looked at it. Here's the greatest of all new revelations, that Jesus is returning before the tribulation. That's only 200 years old. That's not in the Bible anywhere. That came about because a woman had a dream in the year 1850-something or thereabouts, or 1860. Some woman had a vision one day that Jesus was going to come back before the tribulation started, and they bought that hook, line, and sinker, and it's the main teaching everywhere in the church. Nowhere in the Bible does the Bible say that God is going to remove you before there's any trouble in this world. They asked Jesus, what did he say? Strive. That's his answer. Right? They said, are there a few that get saved? He didn't say yes. He didn't say no. He said, strive to enter through the narrow gate. Because many will try to get in, he said, but will not be able. That's always the answer. Strive. You don't know when Jesus is coming back. Nobody knows. But I just want you to see this idea of a pre-tribulation rapture. First of all, you're not going to find it in your Bible. And second of all, that doctrine is new. It's new. George Wash was already dead and buried by the time that started circulating. That's new. Now, let's leave with this blessing here today. Now, to him who was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, world without end. Amen. And the church family said, amen.
You've been listening to WGOD Radio, the teaching ministry of Dr. Paul Esposito from Merritt Island, Florida. To contact Pastor Paul, write to him at elected77@gmail.com. The church's website is islandcommunitychurch.net. The videos of Pastor Paul's sermons are available on our YouTube channel, Island Community Church. Be with us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. A common complaint leveled at Christians is that we're hypocrites. Now, of course, we are, at least according to what Holy Scripture says about the human condition between the first and the new creations. There is, however, a larger perspective here, one that we should know about what Christianity has actually contributed to the world throughout human history. For example, Christians are among the most generous people in the world. In the fall of 2024, after Hurricane Helene destroyed so many Appalachian communities, among the first to arrive and help and last to leave were a couple thousand Amish, who literally rebuilt the homes of strangers. And of course, groups like Samaritan's Purse were already there, as they so often are, providing for the hurting. In fact, Christian kindness shows up not just when disaster strikes, Consistently, according to survey after survey, religious people, especially Christians, are exponentially more likely to volunteer their time and give their cash than their secular neighbors. And ironically, secular critiques